Chapter 4. The Mean Reds. It did not take long for more people to arrive at the party. Some of them were soldiers, but most were much older men. I was left alone by the bookcase. More than half of the books were about horses, while the others were about baseball, two topics that did not interest me. I picked up a book and pretended to read while studying Holly's guests at the same time. There was one man who looked like an adult child, but it was the way he behaved that I noticed. He was busily making drinks, introducing himself, and choosing what music to play. It was Holly who was telling him to do it.
"Rusty, can you make this? Rusty, can you do this, please?"
The man's name was Rutherford Rusty Trawler. In 1908, when Rusty was 5 years old, his parents died. They left him a lot of money, so Rusty became rich and famous. He had three ex-wives, and his life was always written about in the newspapers. I was not told these things. I read them in The Baseball Report, another book from Holly's bookcase. The book had newspaper stories between its pages of Rusty and his life. Some of them were about Holly and Rusty and their plans to get married.
"Are you enjoying reading about me, or do you like baseball?"
Holly said, appearing behind me. She was wearing her dark glasses. "What was this week's weather report?" I replied. She did not look happy with my question.
"I like horses, but I hate baseball," she said, looking at the book in my hand. "I hate the sound of it on the radio, but I listen to it for homework."
"What do you mean?" I said.
"There are only a few things that men can talk about. If a man doesn't like baseball, then he must like horses. If he doesn't like either of them, well, he doesn't like girls."
I did not say anything.
"Have you spoken to OJ?"
she said. "No."
"You should speak to him. It's a good idea. Believe me."
"I do believe you, but I don't think that I have much to show him," I said.
"Go and talk to him. He can really help you."
"Like he helped with your audition?"
"He told you about that?"
she said.
"Yes, I should feel bad. Not because I wanted the job, but because I allowed him to dream. I was just using him. I could never be a Hollywood actress. It's too difficult. If you're intelligent, it's too embarrassing. I would like to be rich and famous. But I want to still be me. Wake up in the morning and have breakfast at Tiffany's." "Do you need a drink?" she said.
noticing my empty hand.
Rusty, will you bring my friend a drink?
Holly picked up the red cat from the floor.
Poor cat,
she said.
Poor cat without a name. I know it's horrible that he doesn't have a name, but I can't give him a name. He will have to wait until he belongs to somebody.
Doesn't he belong to you? I said.
No. We met next to the river one day. He is independent like me. I do not want to own anything. Not until I know that I found the place where me and my things belong together.
Where is that? I said.
I'm not sure, but I know what it's like.
She smiled and put the cat back on the floor.
It's like Tiffany's. It's not because of the diamonds. I don't care about diamonds. Diamonds only look good on older women.
So, why do you like Tiffany's? I asked.
Do you ever have those days when you get the mean reds?
She said. Do you mean the blues?
No,
she said slowly.
The blues are when you're getting fat or when the weather is bad. You are just sad. The mean reds are horrible. You're afraid, but you don't know what you're afraid of. You think that something bad will happen, but you don't know what. Have you ever had that feeling?
Yes, like when you are worried, I said.
Okay, when you are worried, but what do you do about it?
She asked. A drink can help, I said.
I've tried that, but it doesn't work, she said. I usually get into a taxi and go to Tiffany's. It's quiet there, and nothing bad could ever happen at Tiffany's. When I find a nice place like Tiffany's, then I will buy some chairs and tables and give the cat a name.
I smiled.
I was thinking about moving to Mexico with my brother, Fred, after the war,
she went on.
Maybe buy a house next to the sea. I went to Mexico once. It's a wonderful country with many horses. Fred is good with horses.
Rusty Trawler appeared, carrying my drink. I'm hungry, Rusty said, sounding like a child.
Yes, Rusty, we won't be long,
Holly replied. I want to go, he said.
I want you to behave,
Holly said quietly. She sounded like his mother. You don't love me, Rusty said.
Nobody loves people who are naughty,
Holly said.
Go back to the guests, Rusty, and when I'm ready to eat, we will go to a restaurant.
Rusty seemed happy with Holly's answer and walked away. You didn't answer his question, I said. Do you love him?
You can make yourself love anybody,
Holly said.
Anyway, he had a horrible childhood.
Is that why he behaves like a child?
Rusty feels safer when he is behaving like a child, she said.
And are you going to marry him? I asked.
I'm not even pretending. I don't know he's rich, she said. Houses in Mexico still cost money.
Traveling?
The card on my mailbox, she said. Do you think that it's funny?
Not funny, just interesting, I replied.
I don't know where I will be tomorrow, so I told them to write traveling on the card. They are from Tiffany's. I didn't need those cards, but I felt like I owed them something because I spend so much time there. Now, are you going to make friends with OJ?
Before we could find OJ, we were interrupted by a very tall young woman who was standing at the door.
Holly,
she said, while waving her finger.
Why have you been hiding all these men?
The woman was over 6 feet tall, and taller than most of the men at the party. She spoke with a stutter.
What are you doing here?
Holly said.
Why, nothing, darling. I was upstairs working with Mr. Yunioshi. You sound angry, Holly. Are you boys angry at me for interrupting your party?
She said, while looking at the men in the apartment. Do you want a drink? Rusty Trawler said.
Yes, please,
the woman said, touching his arm.
There aren't any drinks, Holly said. Don't worry, Holly, she said. I will just introduce myself to your friends.
She walked toward O.J. Berman, who now looked even shorter.
I'm Mag Wildwood from Wildwood, Arkansas.
Before Berman could introduce himself, one of the soldiers appeared and asked Mag Wildwood for her telephone number. In seconds, another man asked her to dinner. She was not beautiful like Holly, but I noticed her, and her stutter made her more interesting.
Who can tell me where the bathroom is? She said.
I can,
Berman said quickly, giving her his arm.
That won't be necessary, Holly said. She's been here before. She knows where it is.
As soon as Mag left the room, Holly turned to her guests and started to speak.
It's really sad,
she said loudly.
You would think that it would show more, But she doesn't look ill. She looks fine. Don't you think she looks fine?
The room was silent. The soldier, who was holding Mag Wildwood's drink, immediately put it down.
She's been ill for a while,
Holly continued. When Mag came back from the bathroom, everybody was quiet. Nobody wanted to talk to her anymore, which made her angry. She began drinking more and shouting at Holly. She started an argument with a 50-year-old man and then fell to the floor.
Get up,
Holly said, putting on her jacket. The guests were waiting at the door. They were ready to leave, but Mag did not move.
Fred, darling, can you put her in a taxi?
Holly said.
She lives at the Winslow. You're the best, Fred. Thank you.
Suddenly, the guests were gone, and I was alone with a woman on the floor who was now sleeping. She was too tall for me to carry into a taxi, so I put a pillow under her head and left her to sleep.